Hello, everybody. We are continuing with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 22, and we've been working on the fourth creative hierarchy, which is the human hierarchy, the hierarchy of human monads, and we've been talking about the lower four of the manifested creative hierarchies. Let's just see. We can go to that right here. Okay. The lower four, which involves the human hierarchy, the hierarchy of the human personality, or the fifth, a dual hierarchy, the lunar lords, the sixth creative hierarchy, manifested, and the elemental lives. Okay. And we've been saying that the lower four creative hierarchies, including the hierarchy of human monads, has not yet finished its association with the third great principle, the principle of intelligence, which animated the preceding Mahakalpa, and so must continue its contact with that intelligent principle in this solar system. These lower hierarchies will work out of this creative intelligence aspect, that of the primordial ray, and the four will become the three, and they will then be the higher or arupa hierarchies of the next system. All this on the cosmic physical plane. Apparently, these hierarchies will not yet work themselves out of the cosmic physical plane in the next solar system, so they will have this particular position, the position of hierarchies 1, 2, and 3 in that future first ray solar system. Okay. Hopefully we are not experiencing degraded audio. Hopefully. Okay. Now we continue. Before continuing our consideration of the particular hierarchies, it is necessary to point out that these hierarchies, certain of them are termed dominant hierarchies and other subsidiary hierarchies. This, of course, is relative. It has to do with a particular system and a particular time. So, but let us see what he says. By this is meant that certain of these hierarchies are expressing themselves in this solar system more fully than others. Of course, it is a second-ray astral Buddhic solar system, so that may have something to do with the fact that certain of the hierarchies more easily or more fully express in this system. And this necessarily entails the consequence that their vibration is more to be felt than that of the subsidiary groups. The dominant groups are the second, fourth, and fifth creative hierarchies, all of them very intimate to man. The second creative hierarchy is the prototype, or I think provides the vehicles for monadic expression. The fourth creative hierarchy is our own group of human monads, and the fifth creative hierarchy of solar angels, especially the higher part of that hierarchy, provides for us the link that makes it possible to express within the human personality and upon the lower three subplanes. Okay, so let's see what it says here about these hierarchies, giving us a different perspective, I think. The second creative hierarchy, the hierarchy of divine builders, and by the way, I think it'd be probably good for you to have your esoteric astrology book open as we are discussing these matters, and to have the table of creative hierarchies found on page 34 and 35 before you. I will be switching back and forth sometimes to illustrate these hierarchies, but I think that if you always have that table open before you, you will catch more. The second creative hierarchy is the great expression of duality, of the sun as he vitalizes the sun. Well, one of the great dualities is that of love and wisdom, which is certainly an expression of the monad. Wisdom is sometimes more related to Shambhala and love to the hierarchy. The sun is the great soul nature of the Sola Logos as he vitalizes the his outer expression, which is the etheric physical sun whose heart is operative, I am hypothesizing, on the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane, i.e. upon the monadic plane. There is a heart expression here because the sun is the great loving son of God expressing on the second of the cosmic ethers, which is naturally correlated with the second ray and with the soul nature and with the heart center. Of course, there is more to be divined here, but these are a few thoughts. The great expression of duality of the Son of God as he vitalizes the sun. And the sun here can be considered a symbol for the expression of the Sola Logos on the cosmic physical plane. The fourth, another of the most important hierarchies, system-wide, in our particular solar system, is the hierarchy of human monads, who are the mediators or the synthesizers. Let us remember that while ray 7 is a synthesizing ray, ray 1 is as well in a different way, and ray 2 certainly is, we cannot overlook the synthesizing which occurs in relation to ray 4, which is the ray conditioning the soul nature of the human kingdom and is related naturally to the fourth group of manifested creative hierarchies, that of the human monad. So they are synthesizers of spirit and matter. So we are really midway between, are we not? We are expressing the gain of System 1 and the goal of System 2. The gain of System 1 is a degree of intelligence, because in the first major solar system, remember there are minor preceding solar systems, creative intelligence or abstract intelligence or active intelligence is expressed, the great ray of intelligence. So we have that built into us because we are man, manus, mind. That is what we have developed, or certainly in the process of developing and concluding that type of development. But the goal is love and wisdom. That's the goal of System 2. And we are sort of crucified between these two aspects, the love aspect and the intelligence aspect, one pulling towards form, the other pulling towards the archetypes. And the counterpull makes our fourth ray human monadic life one of difficulty at this time until we achieve the harmonization between these two aspects by at last contacting the Buddhic energy, which is expressing upon the fourth plane or the plane of harmony. Our job is to become harmonizers of everything with which we engage. Then we have, as the next hierarchy of importance, the fifth of the manifested creative hierarchies, the fifth or tenth, if we count the higher cosmic astral plane hierarchies, the fifth or tenth is closely liberated with the closely linked with the five liberated hierarchies, and is an expression of their synthesized life. Somehow this is so important because everything that they have, the four liberated and one almost liberated hierarchy, is somehow embodied in that which the solar angel can convey. So if it is synthesized in the life of the solar angels, then Pisces and Aries, whoop, that's Aryan race, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and even Cancer, the particular properties of those three signs as they play through the liberated and one almost liberated hierarchy are expressed by the solar angels. So whatever those qualities may be, and let us see, they are intelligent substance, unity through effort, light through knowledge, desire for duality, and mass life. Those particular qualities do express through the fifth creative hierarchy. Okay, it might therefore be said that the fifth hierarchy serves as the representative of the liberated groups. Well, we have to remember that the members of the fifth creative hierarchy have already journeyed to the cosmic astral plane on their way to Sirius to be trained as solar angels. So they can or are in a position to represent the groups that are now focused on the cosmic astral plane, and one nearly so. It might therefore be said that the fifth hierarchy serves as the representative of the five liberated groups, and this I would say especially the higher aspect of the fifth creative hierarchy, as the lower aspect seems downward tended towards form. That is a great mystery which DK says we are not going to solve. But anyway, let us consider this the hierarchy of the solar angels, the fifth, and they are the representative of the five liberated groups, one almost liberated, and the fourth is the representative group in this system. So we human monads have a special function in this second major solar system, and according to our fate and our success, the system itself may be successful or not. Whilst the second creative hierarchy represents for man, or these two groups united, remember that the fifth creative hierarchy and the fourth creative hierarchy create man, that which is the spirit aspect, the father, the unknown. The monad here is considered the unknown. So, in other words, let's bear this in mind. Man is the unification of the fourth creative hierarchy and the fifth creative hierarchy. And that which is the second creative hierarchy is a representation of the spirit aspect, the father, the unknown. We do really have to understand what is meant by prototypes of the monad. All lesser monads, if one can speak in such terms, are emanation of greater monads. Of course, ultimately, they are all one monad. But Master Moria speaks about the divisibility of the spirit, and so there is a kind of divisibility which is created or caused by the focusing of consciousness in a lesser degree. So, as I said, each entity is really a degree of the self-consciousness of the One. And the whole process of emanation depends upon limiting the degree of self-consciousness. Every limitation of degree of self-consciousness becomes another entity. That's what it means to emanate, I do believe. I try to explain this in my Infinity book, but it sometimes eludes me. But suffice it to say, we are exactly the same as the universal logos in essence, except that our degree of we are a degree of his self-consciousness, which is far more circumscribed than his own degree of self-consciousness, which embodies his entire being nature. Okay, so the second creative hierarchy has to do with the spirit aspect, the Father, the unknown, and in a way, our spirit aspect is nested within the chakras of the planetary logos. Now, the planetary logos, like every being, has chakras on all levels. When we look at this map, we seem to see that there are chakras only on the lower planes. But a number of statements that DK has made point to the existence of chakras on all the levels. After all, 35 vortices of force make a master. A vortex of force is a chakra, and then Chohans would still have more activated, and Chohans of the seventh degree still more. So the spirit, the unknown, has to do with the monadic nature of man and the activation of all of these chakras comes from that part of ourselves which we call the monad. Chakric energy is ultimately descending monadic energy. I do believe, as I said, that the second creative hierarchy does not so much provide, create the monad of man as to give man his monadic vehicle. But this has yet to be confirmed. The emanating point of the monad is a very difficult question. We are told that the monad is found upon the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane, but did it pre-exist? Was it in one of the higher chakras of the planetary logos? Was it ultimately was it ultimately even in his own monadic vehicle, an aspect of his own monadic vehicle on the cosmic monadic plane? And, you know, to show where that is, at least on the map, we see it here. This is the cosmic monadic plane, and we do have to wonder if somehow nested within the monad of a planetary logos is the monad of man, a lesser degree of self-consciousness. But then it goes on and on and on. So the question of where the monad really originated is perhaps we can get a hint of it by all of these rising septenates. All I have to do is find it. Well, there it is. The rising septenates, you see. And this gives us a bit of a picture, an idea, that the monad of man is really part and parcel of its emanating source, which is part and parcel of a greater emanating source, which is part and parcel of a greater emanating source, and on and on and on, until we reach the one universal monad. So every emanated monad is a specific degree of the self-consciousness of the one. At least that's how I'm thinking about it at the present time. All right, anyway, I think what's important to realize is that the second creative hierarchy is intimately related to the monadic nature of man. And, of course, that particular hierarchy has its own monadic nature, which will not be found on its plane of expression. It will be found far higher, probably. In other words, here are the divine builders. Their monadic nature will not be found on the cosmic physical plane, it will be found perhaps on the cosmic astral plane, perhaps the monadic plane of the cosmic astral plane, which is not shown in this chart, because this chart stops on the atomic subplane of the cosmic astral plane. I know that when we discuss these things, you know, we're in the realm of concept. We are not in the realm of verifiable realities, but we have to get the map first before we can verify. Even Master DK says he really cannot describe what goes on the cosmic astral plane, because he says, who knows, I do not, I have not been to the cosmic astral plane. And yet he is presenting us with a type of schematic, a type of diagram, a type of structure which will help us at least conceptualize these higher realms. One day they will be fields of experience. We will all have to be at least initiates of the sixth degree and beyond, as we take a monadic journey, not down, but up. See, our present monadic journey is a redemptive one. Under Pisces and Virgo on the monadic plane, redeeming the matter of the previous solar system, with which we still have something to do, as we, in our monadic expression in the previous solar system, had not yet completed our association with the intelligence aspect. But our next monadic journey is not down, but up. Of course, up and down, you know, in and out. These are the great pairs of opposites. Let's just say will involve higher and higher cosmic subplanes. The cosmic astral plane minimally, and some to the cosmic mental plane. Those are vibratory realms. At least in our terms, we would discuss them that way. As to what may be vibrating on those high levels, we don't know, because we don't know the structure of matter as it would be found on those higher cosmic subplanes, or even whether they are material. But for the time being, we can talk about higher vibratory realms, or we can talk about higher dimensions. Obviously, all of this is beyond our ken. All right, so we have discussed now some factors concerning the fourth creative hierarchy, the hierarchy of human monads. We've seen how important it is. We've seen that it's a representative group. We've seen that that which is man is not just the fourth creative hierarchy, but a combination of the fourth and an expression of the fifth creative hierarchy of redemptive solar angels. We've seen that every hierarchy expresses through the forms of various other creative hierarchies. In the case of man, it's the fifth, sixth, and seventh through which man expresses. Though perhaps he does not express through the highest force fields or vehicles of the solar angel, he expresses through a force field or vehicle which the solar angel was instrumental in providing, and that vehicle is the causal body or egoic lotus. All right. Now we're going to begin with this very interesting fifth creative hierarchy, which, you know, the work of Master DK, started also by HPB, is vitally important and deals with solar angels, Agnishvatas, Asuras, beings who are the returning Nirvanis of a previous Mahamanvantara, where they were men and had gone through all initiations available to man at that time, which we must presume were not initiations as high as are presently available. I'm remembering that on the moon chain it was possible to take the fourth initiation. The third initiation was almost achieved by the Buddha during the moon chain. But to complete it, he had to come to the earth chain and took that initiation with the Christ in a fourth-ray ashram in Atlantis. And I'm trying to remember if he did say, I'll have to look this up, or whether I'm just sort of inferring it, the degrees of initiation which were possible for man in the previous solar system. What I'm trying to say is that every solar system is in advance of the previous one. So, you know, let's see, on the moon chain, let us say, it was possible only to take for man to take only a certain number of initiations. In this chain, he can take more. Well, I'm making the analogy that in a previous solar system, that which was man could take a certain number of initiations, and in this solar system, more. The question is, how many initiations did the solar angels take in the previous solar system? Did they come into this solar system well before they had any task to help individualize the animal man of this system and this planet, etc.? And did they take further initiations in this particular solar system? All of that is, as DK would probably say, lost in the night of time. But the mind opens up to speculations along that line. Suffice it to say, the solar angels are now considered initiates of all degrees with respect to man, and by that I presume of all degrees that would be possible for man in this particular solar system. They are very high beings. Now, before beginning our discussion of Hierarchy 5, I pulled out some notes that I had, and these are names of the solar angels, names of these great redemptive Nirvanis. They had achieved the Nirvana of the previous solar system. I think Nirvana is a relative term. It always refers to higher dimensions and to release from a particular context and an elevation above that context. In other words, the Nirvana of a previous solar system may not quite be the Nirvana of our present solar system. It might be a higher type of Nirvana in our present solar system, and on to the next solar system, a still higher point of release. Everything is progressive, rising, and unrepeatable in a way. Even cycles, which apparently are similar to previous cycles, are really not exactly similar. I think that the principle of unrepeatability is one which we have to take into consideration when we consider all aggregations, all coming together, all forms in cosmos. So here's some names. Here's some names. Names for solar angels. There's probably 20-something names here. They are the builders of... Maybe I make them a little bigger, you know? I think maybe I do make them a little bigger. Make the font more so that it becomes possible to see, to better see. They are the builders of the body of the ego. They are not specifically the human ego on the higher mental plane, but their energy has built that lotus, and perhaps that lotus, well, the lotus is a universal symbol, and the solar logo shows up as a lotus as well. And perhaps there is a lotus structure in the solar angels, which is reflected in the lotus structure of the human egoic lotus. So without them in our solar system, that the lotus-like structure of the egoic lotus would not have been built, although in the previous chain and probably the previous solar system, there were naturally egoic lotuses, but they were built by another process, not by the intervention of the solar angels. They are the producers, oh, let's say put that R in there, producers of individualization, because through their intervention it became possible for the monad to become self-conscious in the three lower worlds. This does not mean that the monad is not self-conscious in the higher worlds, but the self of which it is conscious is a vast thing and not limited and circumscribed, and is certainly balanced not only by group consciousness, but by universal consciousness, considering the word universal as related to the solar system. Anyway, there is individualization in the lower world, and because of the bridging power, the bridging work of the solar angels, manifesting as animal man, took our individualization and became self-conscious and self-consciously intelligent. So they are producers of realized consciousness. These are all names that Master DK has given for the solar angel. We have everything has consciousness, even the atom. Alice Bailey's, one of her very first books, is The Consciousness of the Atom, but it's not realized consciousness. It's not self-consciousness. In other words, the conscious being does not realize that it is an it, and that that it is conscious. So there is a type of reflective consciousness that the solar angels produce. It's via the principle of ahamkara. It's a kind of reflexive consciousness which points consciousness back to the center from which it emanates, and thereby gives a consciousness of the unit as a center. The conscious unit realizes itself as a center of consciousness. The solar angels produce this. The Agnish Vatas, they are fire devas belonging to Agni, just the way the the Agni Suryans are and the Agni Chaitans are. They all belong to the great Lord Agni, who is an aspect of the solar logos. Of course, probably what Agni is goes on even beyond that. But they are Agnishvatas, Vata, related to the air, Vata. That's interesting because they are Buddhic beings. So they have this Buddhic quality. And they express the combination here of fire and air. The Vata suggests air and the Agni fire. The air is the Buddhic plane and Agni is any one of various mental planes. They are the great devas of mind because their origin, in a way, is the cosmic mental plane. They are aspects of a great deva, a solar angelic deva who is the solar angel of the solar logos. They are projections of that great deva. So they are great devas of mind, and the fact that the word mind is capitalized seems to suggest that we're dealing with cosmic mind or with universal mind. They are the self-consciousness or conscious principles. This I tried to explain because they do induce this quality of ahamkara or I-ness. Their energy contains the quality of I-ness, which is, as I say, reflexive, and it is consciousness which reflects back upon the center from which consciousness emanates or is radiated. So it's not just outward consciousness, it's a consciousness which turns in upon itself, and then we have, in a sense, consciousness of consciousness, which reminds me of Franklin Merrill Wolfe's philosophy of consciousness without an object, in which consciousness becomes the object of itself. So that which of which we are conscious is consciousness itself. And of course, it also becomes necessary to become conscious of being. And when we have consciousness of our own being, we have achieved a high state of knowing that we truly and ineradicably exist. Okay, again, the builders of the egoic body, yes, that was the same as the first, only expressed in a different place. They're planetary spirits. They are not yet heavenly men. They are not yet planetary logoi, but in their groups, they are on the way to becoming planetary logoi. But they are high enough in their initiatory status to at least become planetary lives or spirits. Sometimes the word planetary spirit refers to a planetary logos, but this is a lesser being than a planetary logos, though on the way to becoming a planetary logos. They took the fourth path, which is the path to Sirius. They took that in the previous solar system. And they are on their way to taking the third path, many of them, I suppose, the path of planetary logoi. Who is to say how many paths are open to advancing solar angels in their groups? But certainly the path of planetary logoi are. So can they be considered planetary lives, at least? And even they can be considered solar lives. That's the seventh kingdom, the kingdom of solar lives, because as solar Petries, they are the members of the council within the sun. They are also called Asuras, and HPB goes a long way towards explaining the manner in which the Asuras have been maligned. They should probably, rather than Asuras, which is a prejudicial kind of name, they should be called Suras or Suryas. Because they certainly represent Surya, the second aspect, the sun. Another name for our solar logos or the sun is Surya. But the worshippers of the ancestral gods under the lower aspect of Jupiter in India considered the influence of the solar angels to be detrimental to what they most desired, and so they used the privative A, and they took away the sun-like nature of these great beings, making them into lesser gods or even into demons. So the Asuras have a bad name, but really they are the same planetary group. I hope I've put down Prometheus here a little bit later. I think so, but Prometheus, I want to speak about that. Those who gave, who captured fire from the gods, from the higher, still higher gods, maybe the planetary logoi, and brought it to man. And of course, they are solar angels. They come from the heart of the sun, which is the soul nature of the solar logos, but some of them actually come from the central spiritual sun, and that's an amazing thought. Is that where their monads are somehow located? Because man is that which has its home within the sun, so maybe of the solar angels it's even more so, and they are much more established within the central spiritual sun. Petries, solar Petries, they are fathers or ancestors. They are emanating beings. In the lives of the angelic hosts, they seem to reproduce themselves through emanation, which means they divide their natures into multiplicity and go forth as lesser numbers than the original. You've seen that diagram called Parabrahman, in which the one divides the seven, and each one of those seven divides into seven more, and so forth. They are the ancestors, and we are told that the solar Petries, which are giving the true consciousness principle to man, that they find their home within the sun, and rather, that they are members of the council chamber of the solar logos, where as advanced human beings, are members of the council chamber within our planet. So you can see what incredible advancement these beings with whom we are associated and in relation to whom we can meditate, we can see what degree of advancement they really have. They are called fire Dianis, and the fact that Diani is used shows that they are great meditators, and they accomplish, they are Dian Chohans, they are great high meditative beings, but they are fire meditators, and the particular fire that they represent in our solar system is solar fire. But I want to say that in our solar system, even fire, electric fire in our solar system is an aspect of solar fire. Because the major fire of our solar logos is solar fire, and what we call electric fire, or what is electric fire to us, is but an aspect of the greater solar fire. The fires continue, they rise, who knows, you know, to some particular being. I'm sure we are, all of our solar fires and electric fires are just an aspect of that being's fire by friction, and so forth. So just remember this idea that the solar Petris are so advanced that they are members of the Council of the Sun. And fire Dianis, and then Manasa Devas. Well, sometimes the word Manasa Deva may mean planetary logos, heavenly man, but they are devas in whom the principle of mind is solidly established, and the principle of love is powerfully developed, though perhaps not fully developed, because even in a planetary logos, which is a dragon of wisdom, the principle of love is not fully developed as it is in a grand heavenly man, the solar logos. So they have perfected mind to a certain degree, and they thus they are Manasa Devas, and they confer mind, or at least an awareness of mind, a self-conscious awareness of mind, and a stimulation of mind to the animal man. They are sons of wisdom because they are endowed not only with knowledge, vast knowledge, gathered in the previous solar system and probably part of this, but they have this buddhic quality, and wisdom and buddhi, we know, can be considered equivalent. When we meditate and come into relationship with our solar angels, we are touching a great source of wisdom as far as our consciousness is concerned, and the way to achieve wisdom is to come en rapport with their consciousness. They are vehicles of the divine mind, and this means the divine mind is found on the cosmic mental plane, and their source is that cosmic mental plane, and so they have come forth from the cosmic mental plane. In a way, they're on kind of a, they are on kind of a pilgrimage too, just the way we are. We're on a lower pilgrimage, and they are on a much higher pilgrimage, but they, as it were, dip very low when they are coming into contact with beings such as we are. They are called the Dian Chohanic forces. We know that a human being does not even become a Chohan until the sixth initiation, and when a seventh degree initiate is still called a Chohan, and who knows how far that term rises. Are there Chohans of the eighth degree, Chohans of the ninth degree? It tends to mean a powerful priest-like being with great powers, and they have great meditative powers. So these are high beings with great meditative powers. They are called also the aggregates of the Ahi. And in the secret doctrine, the aggregate of the Ahi, Well, I think there are many types of ahis, if we will, and in the secret doctrine, great and high creative forces have been given that name, ahi. So at least they are one particular type of ahi, and there may be higher types as well. They are called solar lords. They certainly do dominate the human being that they supervise. They are partially ruled by Capricorn, but they have a very Leo type of expression because they are solar angels. And they are connected, I think, with the first grade of hierarchy on the logoic plane, which is ruled by Leo. So whenever we're dealing with Leo, we're dealing with the power of dominance, and in this case it's the soul, the domination of the by the soul of its subjects, the human being. It's very interesting, they are associated in music with the term called the dominant. It's the fifth, interestingly enough, and they are the fifth creative hierarchy. There are so many correlations here that we can see. So they are lords indeed, and they have the power of domination, but they also respect the free will of their subject. We are subjects. They are the kings, we are subjects. But it is the law of Sanat Kumara, and actually the law of Sirius, the law of freedom, that the free will must be respected, and that one cannot regiment these regiment the subjects. In other words, lesser beings are not allowed to be regimented by greater beings, and this is where the Black Lodge goes astray, because regimentation is one of the methods by which it works, compelling and forcing its subjects into patterns regardless of their will. These solar angels are also called the five fold links, and it's rather interesting when you look at the structure of a egoic lotus, which has been engineered by the solar angels, you will see it is fivefold. Well, there are different ways of considering it. Okay, but the structure of the lotus itself is fivefold. So there, the knowledge petals, the love petals, the sacrifice petals, the synthesis petals, and the jewel in the lotus. There's your fivefoldness. And the five meanings of magnetization, which are discussed in the 13th rule for applicants in initiation human and solar, probably relate to these five dimensions of the egoic lotus, which reflect a fivefold structure of the solar angels. The symbol of the solar angels is often the upward pointed star. Again, you see the pentagram, the fivefoldness. They are the benign uniters. That means they bring a blessing, benignity. They unite the spirit and matter aspect of man. They serve a particular function, bringing the cosmic ethers and the cosmic dense physical body of the solar logos and planetary logos together. So the fact that they must unite in a very loving way. Goodness, I think I've missed some of the names. I just realized the Hearts of Fiery Love are to be found here. I want to put that in. Hearts. Whoops. Let's get that back. And from them emanate, right. I'm going to get this in right position here. Right. So, yeah, I want to put that down. Yes, I had the Hearts of Fiery Love. They are here. I did have that. And then, of course, I want to put in the word Prometheus. Very important word with respect to this group of solar angels. Okay, the benign uniters, fusing the cosmic etheric and the cosmic dense physical planes, the producers of atonement, or really at one ment. And it is the higher and lower principles of man that are involved in this at one ment, bringing spirit and matter together as one ultimately, and then when their task is completed, returning to their source later to be breathed out, which is the sun, of course, later to be breathed out as planetary rays. Esoterically, they are the saviors of the race, and from them emanates that principle which in conjunction with the highest aspect, lifts, which is the location, if you will, of Shambhala, the seventh plane, the seventh heaven. And these particular angels are expressing within the third heaven, which is the higher mental plane, and they are somehow expressing the content of the seventh heaven in the third. I think that's what the statement of St. Paul meant, the third heaven as it reflects the seventh. D.K. said all of that was rather lost on the people for whom it was intended, or who received it, and naturally, I believe they mistranslated it. Well, hearts of fiery love, that's another wonderful term. The heart center, and angels do have chakras too, everything has chakras, the whole universe. Well, is the whole universe a chakra? That's quite a question, but everything else is. Every being is a conscious, eventually conscious, vortex with a particular ring pass knot of selfhood. Whether it's self-conscious or not is another matter, but even atoms, I think, in their own way can be considered as chakras or aspects of them. Hearts of fiery love, from the heart of the solar angel to the brain of man, there is a link, and they convey that Buddhic quality, that solar fire which was not cultivated in the previous solar system and was not even cultivated on the moon chain. And they give us this Buddhic energy and lift us up into our true estate, where as members of the fourth creative hierarchy, we can actually begin to fulfill our function in the second solar system. So when we are meditating towards these great beings and attempting to come in alignment with them, and when we feel this great Christ principle which is expressed through them, it is because of their nature as Buddhic beings, as hearts of fiery love, that we are able to feel in association with them these wonderful unitive energies. So we can see how much of the second ray they actually have, as well as the fifth, because they are brilliant technical experts in the science of occult psychology. And what they can do with the permanent atoms, DK tells us, is amazing. They are manipulators of the permanent atoms as they attempt to promote the development of the human being that they have under supervision. So the fifth ray is profound as well. And for us, they are the dominant. So they have towards us a first ray karmic function. They are lesser karmic lords. All of these names are kind of coming out. I've listed, you know, some 24 different names here gathered from Master DK. But obviously, as we would go through the books, there would still be more, and I'm probably even forgetting some of the major names here. But anyway, this is the longest list that I have of their names, and we can add to it as we go along. Prometheus. Well, you know, and not only Prometheus, I guess I can add to it right now. In a way, the whole host is Lucifer. But let's take these one at a time. Prometheus gathered fire from heaven. He stole the fire of the gods. The gods were not very happy about this. and they chained him to the rock and sent the great vulture to peck at his liver, all of which has occult medical connotations. The diseases experienced by mystics at certain stages of evolution, I'm sure, are related to this myth. But Prometheus suggests the sacrificial, the advocacy of this particular hierarchy on behalf of humanity. They steal the fire from the higher heavens and bring it down to the human being, who is nothing more than basically a semi-intelligent animal, not self-conscious. And this fire, which contains mind primarily, but also love and also will, is implanted in the brain and mind, a nascent mind of that animal man, and it is a seed of the future. And one day, the disciple, when the beings in whom the fire of mind has been implanted grow up and become true triumphant disciples, they are able to release Hercules in Gemini, in the labor of Gemini, they are able to unchain him and banish the bird. In other words, the great sacrifice and the pain of that sacrifice is banished by the disciple, and Prometheus is allowed to return home, is liberated, and the solar angels return to the sun. So the whole host of beings is called Prometheus. As far as Lucifer goes, well, you know, Lucifer is the story of the fallen angels. In one respect, DK says that all of humanity is Lucifer. And humanity, remember, is a combination of the fourth grade of hierarchy and the fifth. But from another perspective, the Luciferian hosts are fallen angels, but they fell deliberately and sacrificially. Fallen angels who fell deliberately and sacrificially. So when we think about Lucifer, the greatest of the angels, we can think of an entire heavenly host who descended into the dense physical body of the Solar Logos on a redemptive mission. And the fall is not at all a disgrace. It's not a condemnation from God. It's not that they were cast out of heaven because of their pride and all the rest. It is an allegory. It's a myth of a great deliberate descent for the purposes of elevating animal man and facilitating his evolution, as much time had been lost in a previous chain and probably in a previous system. So these are the names that I have so far for the solar angels, and I see that 59 minutes has elapsed while we have discussed these names. So we will take up the fifth grade of hierarchy, what DK has to say about it, in the next webinar number 23, Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 23. And in the meantime, let us, as we have been doing, say the great invocation. From the point of light within. Right. We will do that. Okay. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. Okay, we have finished Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 22, and we will be moving on to 23 shortly. So we'll see you at that time, and hopefully these are doing some good and filling in some knowledge which may have been seen as quite difficult. Well, it is difficult. It's difficult for me too. But as we ponder and meditate on these matters, it becomes clearer and the light begins to enter. Okay, we'll see you then shortly.